Put your hands together one more time. You may be seated. We're about to close, but let's have one short session before we close. Yeah, just one short session before we close. Yeah, it is a good idea. And I am determined that this conference, it is God who will speak to us. So I've not spoken to anybody about what they are preaching. May God speak to you and guide you to say what you have been led to say. And so likewise, what God has laid on my heart to say, I will say. And so this afternoon, for 5 minutes, a culture of allegiance. For 5 minutes. I want to be a forerunner. Because tomorrow, Bishop Gweku will also go there again. And you see, we can't exhaust it. The Father himself must come to speak about this subject before it is finished. And then we can say we understand the culture of allegiance. But we just have to keep on trying to understand what it is and what's how it benefits us. And so it's almost one something, just for a few minutes, a culture of allegiance. Let us pray. Father, thank you so very, very much for these days that we are here. Thank you for the revelations coming to us, the understanding that your church will be built and your house will be established on the mountains, in the valleys, everywhere, especially here in Kumasi. Thank you that as we gather like this, a fire is going out, a stability is coming in, and your church will stand. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Just 15 minutes, 10 minutes, just to open your mind about the culture of allegiance. It says very simply, a culture can simply be defined as the way we think and the way we do things around here. The culture of a church is a very powerful force. Amen. Amen. And that is how many things work. You know, a culture is the unknown, unsaid way of doing things. And when you meet Kumasi, when you meet culture, you have met a force. Yeah. I say you have met a force. I remember some years ago, we had some issues here in Kumasi and had to go and see a certain man to take me to another man. And look, I had a deadline to get there before a certain time. So I quickly found, where is this man? Said, oh, he's here. And so I went there. And when I told him, I'm coming. He said, come. I said, look, we have an emergency. We have to reach a certain man immediately. Otherwise, he too may go and say something on the FM that we didn't want to go out at all. So he said, come. So I went to his office. Listen, when I got there and I opened the door, I met the man. He shook my hand. He took me into his office, gave me a chair. I sat down. Then he sat down. Then I said, sir, I am. He said, wait. You can't just go. So I sat down. He also sat down, looking at me, smiling. And my bottle was burning. Then after 2 seconds, sir, please, you know, he said, wait. Hey. So I sat again. Then he too sat down, looking at me, just smiling. And my bottom was getting hotter and hotter because a fire was burning somewhere. After 3 seconds or 2 minutes, I don't know how, I was under pressure. Then I said, I got up. I said, excuse me. Man said, wait. I sat down. You won't believe it. We sat there for 5 minutes, just sitting down, looking at me. And I was looking at him. I said, what is happening to us? What is going on? So I was sitting there after 5 minutes or maybe 10 minutes of my valuable time burning. Then the door opened and a young lady came in carrying water. Carrying water. Then they came and served me water. I wasn't thirsty. Then I said, oh, no, thank you. The man said, drink water. I took it. Then I opened the bottle, I drank. Then he sat down, opened his, calmly drank his. When he finished, he said, yes, young man, what is your problem? That's the culture of this place. You must drink water before you say anything. Look, I was dying for those 10 minutes. I was under pressure. You know when there's a fire on your chair? Have you been there before? Well, that's the culture. And nothing could change it for the man. Amen. One day, many years ago, I was taking my boys to school. We were driving. We were almost at their school, about just turning the junction into their school. When a car ahead of me hit a car ahead of me, right before my eyes, an accident, and then the little kids, there were little children in their car, and it just pushed the whole car off into the bush. Oh, I told my boys, look, you are where you are, you can go to school. Get down and walk. Because these little children, we must take them to a hospital. And there was one just down the road from their school. So I told my boys, get down and walk. And don't look and see in case there's blood or anything. They got down, and I got down quickly. There were about three kids in their car, crying and shouting. I quickly gathered them, put them in my car. There's a hospital just about 2 minutes from where I was. My James Bond comes once in a while. It came that time. I sped. It was a military hospital. When I came to the barrier, the man was stopping me. I didn't stop at all. I just went. I said, emergency, emergency. I just went in straight, got to the OPD. I opened the door, three little children. I just carried them, Tani, let's go in to see the nurse. And I took them in to the nurse. When we got there, I said, sit down, sit down, sit down. And the nurse came. Where's your card? Where is your card? I said, madam, it's a car accident. She said, mister, where is their card? I said, some things are so deep that no matter the situation, it cannot change. I mean, no matter what, you are seeing three children crying, shaking. The first question is, where is your card? You know, a culture is the best defense to save you from the evil that is prevailing right now. It will fight for you, day or night. Whether you are awake, you are asleep, you are at work. A culture, once it is built and established in a place, better than any watchman. Better than any security, better than any pastors who are, the culture itself becomes the barrier, the defense for the system. And when the culture is set in place, your church is forever safe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And that is why it is so important for us to have this culture. Every culture comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
It is built. It is made.
Nothing
is automatic. You know the culture about drinking water. When they ask them, so why do you give water? They say in the old days, when somebody has come, he has come from far.
Okay.
Yeah, he has come from far. And we don't have any water, any carrier. And so he needs the water. He needs the water. And so it was not that, oh, we have extra. It was something that was necessary. Maybe now, not so necessary. But the strength of that culture and the depth of its hold on us tells you that even though you arrive in an air-conditioned car from your own house, they will still give you water.
Yeah.
And you better drink it. You better drink it. Amen. Or you just sit down there looking at each other. And so this morning, I want us to determine we need to build a certain culture in our church. Hallelujah. If it is not there, we are losing. If it is not there, now we have to be on the alert ourselves all the time. We have to be listening to every conversation. When I see two or three gathered, I have to go and hear. What are they saying? I see the ushers having a meeting. What are they saying? I see the choristers are meeting, only two or three, and they're not smiling. What are they saying? I have to go myself to be listening to all the things. But if we establish a culture, it will fight for us. It will hold them all in place. Everyone. You see, when somebody else enters into this place, the culture will catch him.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The culture will catch him. You don't have to be trying to see what are they saying. The culture. But you see, the culture, it comes from somewhere.
Yeah.
And it must be built. And my prayer is, may every church have that culture of loyalty, of allegiance, that will make your church very, very strong, impervious to any devil within. The fifth column within will resign. They will go out and join the fourth column outside because they can't move at all freely in the house. Hallelujah. Five keys, but I'll give you only one because tomorrow I'm sure we'll get more and more of the keys. But five keys to build this culture. And you see, listen, Lighthouse, what we have is a culture that was built. The culture of love was built. I mean, PFI, coming together, just sitting down with other pastors to chat about wives, about children, about their food in your fridge, about everything. That is how a culture of love was built. You can't say love him and love him back. No. It doesn't work like that. No. But it was a certain putting together, sitting down, and also seeing our father and our brother, uncles, sitting down continually. I mean, you have no idea the beauty of seeing Bishop Eddie and Bishop Saki sitting down. It is the nicest thing you will ever see. And then they'll reach over, Bishop Saki will reach over and say a word. Then they'll all laugh. Bishop Eddie will, look, you see love. You see love one for another. And then if this is how our fathers are sitting, how can we be different? How can we be any separated from our brothers when we see our fathers behaving this way? So the culture we have here has to be built. A culture can erode. Because right now, we don't drink water like that. I mean, I go to places, they often water, say, oh, me, I'm a local guy. Don't bother. And they don't bother too. They take it back. They should not take it back. They should make me drink it. I said, they should make me drink it. Yes. That's the culture. They should say, no, drink. So I'm not thirsty. Say, drink. Drink it. You don't drink, we don't talk. Okay, if you don't drink, go back where you came from. Then you drink. At least open and sip. Yeah, open and sip. So a culture can erode. When it erodes or begins to erode, it must be re-emphasized. We must go back, identify what it is. What about it is eroding? What has eroded? And then re-energize it once again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Because otherwise, we have to be on the alert all the time. Yeah. And nobody can do that. One key to the culture. Wow. Proverbs 25 and verse 23.
It's a key.
Yeah. One key. And it says, the north wind driveth away rain. I mean, many of us, we think that the wind rather brings the rain. But a wind can drive the clouds away. And then we are free. Last night it was blowing wildly. Here it was blowing. But no rain came here. Yeah, but at my place, it did rain. It rained. The north wind driveth away rain. And so does an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. For 5 minutes, let me tell you something. Many of us, we accept orangus. We accept them. We tolerate them. We allow them to flourish around us. We see our friends making comments, and we keep quiet, and we allow, and we even encourage them. Really? Oh, are you sure? He did that? He really did that? We allow the orangus among us to be able to grow until they are powerful enough to think that they can control things. I didn't hear an amen. It is your face and your reaction to these comments that will kill it in our midst. It is your face. And you see, it is not so much your acting face. No. It is your reaction. It's not, see, when I say make a face, you make a face for 2 seconds, then you start smiling again. Oh, you are joking. Squeeze your face. You squeeze your face. Then after a while, Charlie, my brain, the muscles are tired. No. It's not the face that you make that will squeeze and shoot the person. It is what is in your heart. It is the reaction in your heart when somebody gets up and insults your father. Can you smile? I mean, when somebody calls your father by his first name and says, I'll attack him, I'll kill him, I'll do something. Can you be looking at him and saying, oh, is it it's okay? I mean, no. It's not okay at all. It's not okay at all. But we have, by our quietness, allow these things to take root in churches.
Yeah.
I mean, in a church where you have an assistant saying, me too, I'll get some. Hey. You'll get some. We don't get like that.
Yeah.
I said, we don't get like that. It comes by steps and processes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is your reaction to the things you hear that will make us create a culture that doesn't allow any orangu to flourish. It's your reaction. It is the stain of your heart. I don't accept this thing. We accept these things too much. We accept, how can he, you see, those who are writing and they are attacking with their writings. If we all of us attack them, they run away. If all of us keep quiet, they will die out.
Yeah.
But as some are quiet, some are reacting. Some are talking, some are not talking. So it's a give and take, give and take. That little difference opens a way for somebody to flourish around you. That little difference, that little uncertainty. I mean, I'm not too sure whether you are for me or against me. I'm not too sure. I mean, I'm not too sure if everybody here is in line with what I'm saying, or one or two. And so that person who is not correct will try and throw out a fishing net to find the one or two who are like him.
Right.
And he'll be looking to see who fits into my strategy. You must not allow certain words to be even uttered in your presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
You must not allow anybody to criticize any pastor. No. I mean, you cannot criticize any pastor, any church in my presence.
Yeah.
You cannot. I don't agree with every church.
Yeah.
There's a man whose ways are a bit mysterious. You know, I mean, he's mysterious. That's what I can say. And I can't say it anymore.
Yeah.
But you cannot. You know, once somebody was trying to say something, this guy, you know, he's not correct. And I said, hey, are you his judge? Did you call him? Did you equip him? What he's doing? Have you done even a fraction? Don't say anything about him. Just keep quiet. Just allow him to continue as it is. Don't say anything. Amen.
Amen.
We allow certain things to be said around us.
Yeah.
We allow criticisms and other things to be said about other, and you see, when you allow them to criticize somebody, don't turn your back.
Yeah.
I said, don't turn your back. Always do what? Always face them. As you are seeing him, face him. When you are going, face him. I keep facing him. When you turn your back, you are next.
Hey.
But as you are facing him, where are you going? And the person there too, your back is facing him. You see, we have the key word that prophet said is Mr. Goody Goody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Goody Goody. I want to be a nice person. I want to be accepted. I want them to love me. I want them to not see me as confrontational. Me, those pastors, they're always hard. Those pastors, they're always quarreling. Telling me that I don't quarrel. Oh, I'm a very cool, calm, gentle. Ah, but I'm cool, calm, gentle. Yeah. But to be at the head of something, you cannot be cool, calm, and gentle. You cannot be. You cannot build anything without hardness. You cannot build. It is impossible to build a church without hardness.
Yeah.
You want to be good and gentle? No. You are going to rather feed the people amongst you who are not correct.
It's true.
And they'll be real. And you see, Jesus comes with an offer, with his arms stretched out. Not Satan. Satan is forcing his way into your life. He's coming by television. He's coming by telephone. He's coming by everything. You see, you just sit down quietly. Have children. And don't be concerned about what they are reading and watching. He's entering lives of people by every kind of force. And so, just sitting down quietly to allow things to work. No. He's taking in. You must stand at a door and be a firm defender of whatever is coming in. No. It cannot. You tell somebody, I don't care if you don't like me. But you can't talk in a certain way. I had a friend who used to talk in a certain way about my prophet. I used to call him by, we're all schoolmates long ago. So they were all on Legon campus and he knew him. So our pastor, how's Doug? How's he doing? I can't even say it. It doesn't sound nice. It's not proper to say it. But he'll say, well, how's him? How is he doing? And when you go greet him for me, I said, oh yeah, Bishop is fine. So yeah, when you go say hello to him, say I'm sending my greetings. I said, okay, I'll tell Bishop. And I'll always say Bishop to let him know who he is. Yes, and he will answer me again, say, oh no, tell him that I'm here. So, you know, while I saw him, I said, no, you can't. We can't continue this conversation. We can't keep meeting like this. Because every time we meet, you are trying to disregard, you are trying to bring down my bishop to become a human being, a normal human being walking in town. No, he is not. He's not. He's a great man. He's an anointed man. He's a man who has done things nobody else has done those things. I mean, who has built a campus, hospitals, cathedrals around the country, around the world? Don't say he's a normal man at all. He's not. He's special. He's special. And I should call him by his first name. I cannot. Even in preaching, I cannot. It is difficult to say. And then my friend, he would keep on saying it. I said, nah. Listen, our friendship must end. It will end. I used to go and visit him there. We'll chat. We are very good friends. We're in Norway together. Oh, yeah. Very good friends. But I said, no. It can't go on. You cannot be saying, go and tell Kweku that I'm there. I mean, even Kweku, you can't say it properly like that. Go and tell Eddie that I'm coming. Go and tell Charlie, I'm with that. I'm coming. You can't do that. No. You see, when you allow certain things there, what happens to also you too? You too, you are being changed. You are becoming immune to hearing that thing as wrong. You are becoming used to people addressing him as a normal person. And then the shine, the beauty about him in your eyes is reduced because it's normalized. It becomes like, oh, go and tell any other person. No. He's not any other person. And so, listen, you cannot allow certain things to be said around you. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. You cannot allow people around you to talk in a certain way. And you see, we say, squeeze your face. No, it goes beyond that. It goes, it's from your heart. I don't accept it. I can't squeeze my face for 10 minutes. I'll get tired. And I'm with you for all this time. Squeeze your face. Let's squeeze your face. And let's see how long you can squeeze your face. After squeezing your face, the next thing is a smile. As if I am approved of what you are saying. It's not a smile. In my heart, I disagree totally. In my heart, you can't criticize anybody I respect. In my heart, there's no way you can go ahead and say anything. But it comes from their hearts. And that is what Bishop Kweku just said. That, listen, you must be a faithful person. Yeah, faithfulness, you don't act it. You are. You can't act faithfulness. You can't pretend to love your wife. No. After a while, you will deviate and pass somewhere. You are loving your wife by force. It cannot work. Because a time will come when either a nicer model will come or you'll be in a place where you are free to behave or misbehave. A time will come when there's no one there watching you. Do what you like. And then at that point, what really is in your heart will come out. Hallelujah. This afternoon, I want us to determine, not by any behavior, but by adopting a lifestyle, a system, a belief, by changing. I mean, yesterday we said it. It's all about God. And God is not the outside. God is the inside. It's all about what we believe. It's all about what is really inside you. I'm here in the UD. What keeps you here? I have nowhere to go. Oh, I love this church. What keeps you here? What is it that makes you stay? You know, yeah, I'm a pastor here. I have pastors who have left here to go to other churches to become pastors. You want to go? That's why our buildings have plenty doors. Feel free to go. And prophet says that we should give you lorry fare to sandwiches to go faster. Because it is not necessary to stay at a place where you don't want to be. It must be a place where, you see, all the things come together. That's why love is also a requirement. Yeah, that's why it is. May we build this culture in our church. May it be impossible for a stranger to walk in and start talking in a certain way. May even our brother who is changing, when it comes into our condition, our circumstance, our situation, may he unchange. Yes. May he begin to reverse. Hey, what am I saying? Nobody say what I'm saying. May he begin to reconsider what he's thinking and saying. Make your church a place of loyalty and allegiance. Amen. Let your choir, your group, ushers, and nobody here can say, that pastor man. Which pastor man? I said, which pastor man? No chorister man say that the pastor, the church, they are controlling us. We can't sing what we want to sing. Huh? Go and start your own church. I said, go and start your own church. Nobody can, nobody should be allowed in your presence. And you see, sometimes if I react, they may leave. I mean, sometimes, like, we are afraid. Oh, if the chief, the TSA begins to see something and I rebuke her, she may leave and go. Tell somebody the second key is there must be pruning. That's the second key. There must be pruning. If somebody will leave and go because of a rebuke, let them go. Let them go. They don't belong to us. How many children have been beaten by their parents? Can I see your hand? You were beaten by your mother or your father. Yeah. My father never beat me. My mother beat me. My mother, she had a slipper. Eish! She will beat you well. Yeah. But did you ever leave the house? Did you ever go and not come back? No. Those cry who went out in protest, they came back for dinner. Yeah. Those who walked out in anger, after a while they came back. Charlie, what are we eating? If you are rebuked and you leave, no. But if somebody must show their disapproval and the person walks out, say, thank God, I've delivered the house for one orango. There must be a pruning. Oh yes, we are trying to save as many as we can. But in the book, Those Who Leave You, chapter 1, why God allows some people to leave you. Some must leave you. Some should leave you. So when they do leave you, it's not a crime. It's not your failure. It's not your fault. It's them. They were bound to, they had to leave. If they don't leave, you never become what you can become. There will always be a weight on you. They will always hinder you. They will always make you uncertain. What is happening? Every time he's there and he's looking at you in a funny way and he's making comments, you always be thinking, what is he saying? You will never be happy again in your own church. In your own church. Let us build a church that will stand the test of time. Let us build a church. We will enjoy ourselves. Where we can lie in our tents, and the whole church is our tent. Where we can be ourselves, talk about real things, talk about our marital issues, and not be afraid it will appear in town. Let's build a church where we are happy to stay into the night, because as I'm going home, it's to four walls and a television. But here there are happy faces who really love me and who are able to flow with me to do the things that I want.